Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. This is our text. Must have been a strange scene. Moses walking back down into the camp, the people there at the foot of the mountain, and everyone giving him uncomfortable looks and backing away and keeping their distance. What's going on? Moses must have thought, because the text tells us he didn't know that his face was glowing. Maybe Moses just assumed that the people were backing away because the very last time he had come down the mountain with two stone tablets in his hand, Moses had seen the people dancing around a golden calf, having so quickly and so easily forsaken the God who redeemed them. Maybe Moses assumed that the people were backing away because the very last time that he had come down the mountain, two stone tablets in hand, Moses had burned with anger and his face had turned beet red, and he had cast the covenant tablets to the ground, shattering them. Maybe Moses assumed that the people were backing away because the very last time he had come down the mountain, he had taken hold of the golden calf idol, burned it in fire, ground it to powder, mixed it with water, and forced the people to drink it. Or because the very last time he had called the Levites to his side, commanded them to unsheathe their swords, and dispatch them throughout the camp, striking down 3,000 of these faithless, stiff-necked rebels. Or because the very last time Moses had come down the mountain, the Lord had sent a plague against the people because they made the calf, the one that Aaron made. Maybe that's why everyone was looking so uncomfortable and keeping their distance, Moses might have thought. But no, this time it was because his face was glowing with divine splendor, with heavenly glory, with the glory of the God of Israel, because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him, the text says. At some point here, Moses apparently realizes what is going on, that his face is shining, scaring the people, and he calls to them and summons them near, explains things, reassures them, and begins to speak to them the words of God. It's interesting that it is only here in the book of Exodus, it's only on this trip down the mountain, that Moses' face now shines with divine light and splendor. In chapters 19 and 20, when Israel arrives at Mount Sinai and God descends on the mountain in burning fire and smoke and cloud and thunder and lightning and earthquake, and the people hear him speaking with Moses and they stand far off, trembling in fear, Moses comes and speaks to them, but his face isn't glowing. After that, Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was, Exodus tells us. And God speaks to him more, giving him just ordinances for the people. In chapters 21 through 23 and in chapter 24, Moses returns back to the people. He inscribes God's word on a scroll and reads it in the hearing of the people. He establishes God's covenant with them in blood. But his face is not glowing. And then at the end of chapter 24, we read, "Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire at the top of the mountain in the eyes of the house of Israel." And Moses again entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down that time and found the people worshiping an idol of gold, I'm sure that his face was a sight to behold, but it was not glowing with divine light and glory. It's only on this trip down the mountain, this trip in our text this morning, only on this trip down the mountain that the face of God's prophet now begins to shine with God's own light. Perhaps this is because it is only now in the story. Only now, in the bare face of the people's iniquity and rebellion, only now when God has seen, when it has become so clear that this is a stiff-necked people, unworthy of their holy calling, unworthy to bear the name of Yahweh, only now when this prophet has stood before the just and fuming wrath of the living God and prayed, "Forgive their sin, but if not, blot me out from the book that you have written." Only now, when Moses has asked in wonder at God's merciful assent, "Show me your glory." And God has passed before Moses, declaring the divine name in all of its beauty and depth, Yahweh, Yahweh, a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, guarding steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Only now, when hearing this, Moses had fallen on his face in awe and worship and prayed, "If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance." It's only now, when the Lord has answered Moses' prayer by declaring that the time has come for the greatest miracle and wonder in the entire Exodus story, a story full of miracles and wonders, but the greatest of them, God declares, is that he will indeed now renew his covenant with stiff-necked sinners in mercy. He will go with them. He will be their God, and they his people, this stiff-necked people, his people. Only now does the face of God's prophet shine with true heavenly splendor, the light of the God of our salvation, the God whose greatest glory is in showing mercy to sinners. Peter ends in his commentary on Exodus, writes this, summing up chapters 32 through 34, the golden calf story, which ends with our reading this morning. He writes, "It is not so much a story of rebellion as it is a story of God's forgiveness and Moses' role in making this happen. It is in these chapters that Moses' role as intercessor, as mediator of the covenant, reaches its zenith. If we wish to point to the episode that makes Moses truly special, that makes him deserving of all the honor, attention, and respect that he has received through the ages, it is his shielding of an ungrateful people from the end that they most certainly deserve, even if it means taking their place and bearing the full weight, horror, and ignominy of God's anger." And ends concludes, "The world will not see the likes of this again for many generations." And it was many generations. But the world has seen the likes of this again. A prophet who gazed upon the merciful heart of God and whose face shone with the glory of this compassionate God. As St. Paul writes, God has made the light of his glory known in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Mary's son lying in the manger, we have beheld his glory. At Jordan's stream, at Cana's wedding feast, as he was moved by compassion for the crowds, making whole palsied limbs and fainting soul, casting out foul demons, cleansing lepers, raising the dead to life, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' face, we have beheld the glory of heaven, the glory of a God who loves sinners. In the shining face of Jesus on the mountain, and above all, in the bruised and thorn-crowned face of our Lord on the cross, we have beheld the glory of the holy God who has mercy on sinners. O Savior of our fallen race, O brightness of the Father's face, O Son who shared the Father's might before the world knew day or night, O Jesus, very light of light, our constant star in sin's deep night, from the Father's throne you came, his banished children to reclaim. O Christ, Redeemer, Virgin born, let songs of praise your name adorn, whom with the Father we adore, and Holy Spirit evermore. Amen.